going to start with reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart, where Shukadeva Goswami is instructing the importance of engaging in devotional service and engaging always in devotional service and engaging in only pure devotional service. He's like really strong. And one of the ways of pure devotional service is achieved through deity worship. There are 9 processes of bhakti according to Prahlad Maharaj. In the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, he teaches his father that the best thing that he learned was not in school with Shanda and Amarka. The best thing he learned was from Narada Muni. The best thing he learned was devotional service that has 9 processes. Who knows what those 9 processes are? Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, deity worship, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So, deity worship is preceded by the others. Minimally, Shravanam Kirtanam. We just did that, Shravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. So here's some more, Shravanam Kirtanam. In introducing, it's nice to see how Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness to those, his initial audience, that had no culture at all. No spiritual culture, no material culture, no culture. But that's America, the culture of no culture. And how he introduced Krishna consciousness was through hearing and chanting. And deity worship came later. Hearing, chanting, and prasadam. And dancing. And after the purification, chaita darpana marjanam, after the consciousness becomes cleansed by hearing and chanting, then Prabhupada established what he called Guru Garanga altar. Some of the earliest devotees, whoever had held a paintbrush in their hands and some who had never held a paintbrush in their hands, they became artists. Okay, you're the art department. And one of the first things Prabhupada had them paint was Panchatattva paintings. The purpose of that was so we could have altars, Panchatattva. And photograph of Srila Prabhupada, so it was the Guru Garanga altar. And it was like that for a long time. Hearing, chanting, making offerings at the Guru Garanga altar. And after initiation, after second initiation, then Srila Prabhupada introduced Gornitai. And in some cases, Jagannath. Especially Gornitai, Prabhupada explained, because they're very merciful. They're very merciful in many ways. One of those ways is that they accept the service and they don't accept the offense. That doesn't mean, oh, we can make any offense we like, it's okay. That's not bhakti. Bhakti is we want to avoid offense, but if there's some offense, especially Gornitai, they're very merciful. And this process of deity worship is accompanied with prayer, archanam bandhanam, offering prayers before the deity to please accept our service, and so many other types of prayers. And continuing all the time with hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting is like our staple, the essence of our bhakti mark, or Bhagavat mark, Shravanam Kirtanam. Prabhupada one time expressed that Gaudiya are so merciful that there was a report that came through Prabhupada of a group of devotees. Three or four devotees had a brilliant idea. And Prabhupada approved. They purchased some Mercedes buses in Germany, and they drove them overland all the way to India with the purpose of having festival programs packed into the back of the Mercedes bus, and then they would unpack the bus and set up the festival and conduct a festival. And it was a huge success. So when Prabhupada received the report of that success, he told them, you can take Gaur Nitai, place them along on the book table. And if people purchase Gaur Nitai, you can show them how to basically worship the deity. And that's okay, because Gaur Nitai are very merciful. Prabhupada is very merciful. Because normally we don't engage in deity worship until there's some standard of strong hearing and chanting. The purpose of that strong hearing and chanting to purify and qualify ourselves for deity worship, archana, process. In general, archana helps, is specifically mentioned in the second canto. It's especially helpful for householders in a number of ways. One is it helps to establish regulation, because the deity is who we're serving, and in deity worship, it's best, it's like not the same very fixed standard as in temples, where it's like at the exact minute, it's 6 o'clock. Ooh, arti. And at exactly the same time, the arti ends. Ooh. And you can set your clock by the pujari, not the other way around. Because it's, in other words, it's the two most important things. Sometimes Prabhupada said two, sometimes he said three in deity worship. Regulation or punctuality and cleanliness. The third thing he said was sincerity. So when you're engaged, it's not how many things you do or how opulent those things are that you do, but they can be very simple, but very sincerely done with regularity, punctuality. In household deity worship, again, the standard is not so demanding as it is in temples, but it's very good. Supposing you're doing something, and whatever, it's time for the evening arti. So you stop everything and you get yourself clean and you go do the evening arti or the morning arti. Whatever the previous day was, every morning, same time. Ideally, punctually at the same time, at least around the same hour. Devotee families that have a very fixed time in their life, then they themselves become regulated, their children become regulated, everyone becomes regulated around the worship of the deity. And that regulation promotes the quality of goodness. So, in the family, the quality of goodness becomes stronger just from having a regular program of deity worship. And cleanliness. When, here's a description. Someday I'll find the lecture again, but a recorded lecture, Prabhupada explaining how he did deity worship, and therefore he was advising others how they can do deity worship in their home. Would you like to hear Prabhupada says? I listened to it like a couple hundred times. It's very short, but you know, I can't find the recording. So Prabhupada said, you wake up in the morning, before the sun rises, he said, and especially in the summer, you have to get up quite early, before the sun rises, and as soon as you wake, first thing, you say the name of your deity and pay obeisances. Prabhupada taught us as the brahmacharis in the temple, first thing, pay obeisances to the spiritual master and say the name of the deity aloud, calling the deity's name. Then, next, go make the outside of the body clean, put on clean cloth, apply tilak. Next, make the inside of the body clean, make the heart clean. Go to the temple. Before entering the temple, you make some sound, ring a bell, knock, call the name of the deity, may I enter, like that. And then you enter. Pay obeisances before the altar. First thing, clean. Make the altar clean. And as you're making the altar clean, you're saying some prayers because it's part of the worship of the deity to make the altar clean. And after making the altar clean, then you make some prayers to the deity, further prayers to the deity, and then you chant your mantra. Some little deity worship, you chant your mantra, then you make the offering, Prabhupada described. During the daytime, there's some earnings. Some family member goes to the marketplace thinking, this money belongs to Krishna, I want to buy something for Krishna. You buy the vegetable, whatever, grain, items for Krishna, bring to the home, make everything very clean, and then cook and make the offering to the deity. And then you take the prasad of the deity. Then you go to work, and you work for Krishna. And come back in the evening, make the body clean, make the inside clean, worship the deity, offer prayers, and hear from the scripture. And in this way, Prabhupada described, one's life at home is centered upon the deity. So regulation and cleanliness and sincerity. The offerings that one, a sincere offering will be very punctual and regulated, very clean, but that's an expression of sincerity. And the sincerity is thinking oneself before the personality of Godhead, the recipient of his kind mercy. And by his mercy, you're being allowed to serve him directly. A very amazing expression of this was during the installation of the deities in Los Angeles. They're observing this year the 40th anniversary of the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish. Then later in the year, we're observing the 40th anniversary of Radha Govinda's installation. Both Swabhas and Ramabhadra are like really focused on having a wonderful celebration. But that Rukmini Dwarkadish installation, Prabhupada was describing how to make offerings. And the main message he was describing was humility and sincerity. You go before the deity and you say to the deity, my dear Lord Rukmini Dwarkadish, you are so kind that you've made yourself available to approach And I am so unqualified. I'm completely unqualified. And then his voice started to crack. And he said, I'm rotten, I'm fallen, I'm puffed up, but kindly accept my offering. And that way, with sincerity in one's heart and great humility, you make offerings. As Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. With love and devotion, Krishna will accept. It's the love and devotion that Krishna accepts. And with that love and devotion, some simple offering. And if you have the facility, some nice offering. And on festival days, some special offering for your deity. As with Gornatai deities, make a nice offering, nice decorations. It's nice to plan a new outfit for the deity, special flower arrangements for the deity, special preparations offered to the deity, decorations for the deity on festival days, special. And that way, this absorption, the celebration, is decoration of the deity. And Prabhupada described that when the pujari is decorating the deity, actually, they're decorating themselves. Not that they stand and receive the ornaments and crown and so forth. But his point was that Krishna's pleased when he sees the expression of devotion to the deity, and then he decorates the devotee with nice qualities. It's an example given right in the Bhagavatam, just like looking at your image in a mirror and you're putting on tilak. When you're putting on tilak, you see the image in the mirror. So in one sense, you're looking at the image in the mirror, putting on your tilak, but actually it's your forehead being decorated, not the image in the mirror. Like that, when you decorate the deity, you're actually decorating yourself. That is to say, Krishna becomes pleased. Krishna decorates his sincere devotees with spiritual progress and nice devotional quality, a soft and pure heart that can feel the happiness of Krishna and feel happiness when Krishna is feeling happiness. That's the reciprocation of devotion that Krishna extends to his sincere devotee. So deity worship is very nice. It's best if deity worship is accompanied with kirtan, just like in our temples. Before the deities are worshipped in the morning, Mangalarti, kirtan. And the deities are worshipped, the curtain opens, kirtan. Then arti, kirtan. The deity is pleased by kirtan. It's an essential part of deity worship. Jiva Goswami writes in his Sandarbhas, Bhakti Sandarbha. She's missing out. She wants to party with the other kids. Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha that while there are 9 processes of devotional service, and it's true that through the medium of any one of them, Prabhupada often said this, 9 of them, or 8 of them, or 7 of them, or 6 of them, or even 1 of them, one can achieve spiritual perfection. And each of the 9 processes has a Vaishnava who achieves spiritual perfection through those processes of bhakti. Jiva Goswami, however, states that along with that particular process, there must also be chanting. And he gives scriptures to support his statement. And it's naturally so, along with whatever activity there is in worshiping the deity. You should know, if you have deities in your home, have kirtan for their pleasure. It's nice. Deity likes, and you'll also like, for their pleasure. So I'm going to read something here from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 22, where Prabhupada is speaking about deity worship. Can you hear me in the back okay? Can you hear me okay back there?
Yes.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Translation for text 22. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock. Eyes printed on the plumes of a peacock. Purport especially for householder devotees. There's a few householder devotees here. So especially for you. The path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu. Forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord like Nisringha, Varaha, Gornitai, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like Trivikram, Keshava, Chuta, Vasudev, Narayana, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of the Archanaviti. Listen to this one. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord beginning from morning 4 a.m. till night 10 p.m. By performing Mangala Arti, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringar, Boga, Vaikali, Sandhya, Arati, Pata, Boga at night, Shayana Arati, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical knowledge, book knowledge, is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shringara Tanmandir Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktangs Chandiyanjatopi Pande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Shri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable, worshipable form of the Lord. And the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by proper decoration and dressing, and also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. Clean. Deity worship practically means clean. And little children, don't make it easy. Well, it doesn't say that here. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Deity worship and the hearing and chanting process go well together. One is called the Bhagavata Marg, the path of hearing and chanting, and the Pancharatrika Marg, the path of deity worship. One is making the heart clean, and the other is engaging in practical activity. Just like Maharaj Ambarish. What a platform of devotional service was Maharaj Ambarish on. He was amazing. Completely transcendental. No material attraction and no fear. Not just one of those little signs, a little tough guy saying, no fear. No bluff. There was no fear. When Durvas Muni became angry and grabbed some tufts of hair from his head and dashed it to the ground and chanted a mantra to create a fiery demon. And he pointed at Maharaj Ambarish. Kill him. He drank water. Punishable by death. Kill him. The verse that then follows says, as the fiery demon was rushing, imagine, even if you're not a Kshatriya, just here comes this creature rushing at you. I mean, reflect, you don't have to think about it. Just the arms protecting the body go in front of the body. Just reflex. His arms remained by his side. His feet remained stationary. His mind didn't move. He was fully transcendental. His thinking was, I've offended a great Brahmana, I deserve punishment, whatever I'm doing, I accept. Just like that. We're not on that platform. But Ambarish Maharaj was on that platform. And how did he get on that platform? He worshipped a deity in his palace every day. He was a Krishna Bhakta. And the first thing he did in that deity worship was, you know the verse, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachangsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnanam. That he fixed his mind upon Krishna, he gazed his hands in cleansing the temple of Krishna, his legs in walking to the temple of Krishna, his eyes in seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, his ears in hearing the wonderful glories of Krishna, and etc., gazed all his senses in service to Krishna. And this becomes possible in a comprehensive way through deity worship when accompanied with hearing and chanting. His mind became so fixed that when death was approaching, no fear. One of our devotees, when we have our japa retreats, one of the first things, one of the first sections of a japa retreat is to state your sankalpa, your intention. Why did you? So it's put as a question. What inspired you to come here to the retreat? What is it you're hoping to achieve or have happen? That's a Sanskrit word, a sankalpa. That's your intention. Just like during karma kanda yagyas, there's some intention. They want good health, they want wealth, they want something. A wife for their son, or the husband for their daughter, or success in their business, or something. Something. Sankalpa. And it's explicit, it's stated. It's part of the yagya. And for an activity of devotion, what's the sankalpa? There are many that could be pure and selfless. But the at the very beginning, the purpose of that that stated intention is fixing the mind in a particular way, bringing the mind to Krishna and appealing for Krishna to help one stay fixed in pure devotion to Him. So, Maharaj Rambarish had that matured state of Krishna consciousness and centered largely upon the worship of his Krishna deity. And so many other activities, but centered around his worship of Krishna. So it's very powerful if done properly. We're not at that stage, we're the practicing stage, so we follow the vidhis, the rules and regulations, the injunctions and the prohibitions. Vidhi sadhana bhakti. But the purpose behind all those vidhis we mentioned this morning is one thing. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Help. She's a very cute little girl. There she goes. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instruction from the scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. One of my chief irritations is driving in traffic in New York and hearing what they call music coming from cars. It's so loud. The cars just like move, boom. It's the rap music and boom, 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 boom. Cars boom. Roll up the window, put in your earplugs, and to think that some people that you're like, the volume is so loud, they're right next to it, and they do it all day long. To me, it just sounds like anger. Anger and anger and anger, anger. What are they going to be like at the end of the day? Anger, anger. Hit somebody, hurt somebody, anger, anger. Tamagun. It's like intense tamagun. Help! So Bhagavatam is prescribing relief from that lower mode of nature. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, you go to another's temple, where all the above performances are regularly executed, visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed and well-decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. So that's the idea, fixing the mind upon the personality of Godhead in His deity form, specifically elsewhere in the second canto. Listen to this carefully. Prabhupada describes that especially for householder life, because There's a bodily conception of life. Otherwise, what's the meaning of marriage? And to apply that bodily conception to the Supreme. So here's the form of the deity. We apply that conception to the form of the deity. The form of the deity is not material, it's spiritual. And by applying that conception, then the mind becomes sanctified and purified and freed from the material gradually, along with the hearing and chanting process, freed from the material conception of form and being the enjoyer of form. We're the servant of the form of the Lord. And then the qualities and the pastimes of the Lord become understood or revealed. It all starts with hearing and chanting, and as it progresses, the worship of the deity form also. So these are some thoughts on deity worship. What I wanted to do was chant Brahma Samhita before this, but sheets weren't ready. So we'll chant Brahma Samhita. We have enough?